Blog Talk Radio.
Look, the party's over. It's been a long vacation, and your fans are waiting to see you again. And you guys all know how you look in rehearsal is how you come across on stage. So let's do it one more time from the top, and let's get busy. We'll be right back.
myself, but you can see it in my eyes. Don't deny, I can't fool no one else. The truth is in the tears I cry. Cause if it isn't love, why do I feel this way? Why does she stay on my mind? And if it isn't love, why does it hurt so bad? Make me feel so sad inside. If it isn't love,
I told her I'd never fall in love, but now I know better.
I can't describe this feeling that came when I saw her last night. Oh, she got in me. I let you know the reason. I saw her with another guy. So if it isn't love, why do I feel this way? Why does she stay on my mind? And if it isn't love, why does it hurt so bad? Make me feel so sad inside. If it isn't
help tonight. Something keeps The priest said, you're gonna lose family. And he might be right.
We do date night differently. The dial-in number is 319-527-6300, and by all means, please press 1. I am your host, Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic, and tonight's show is sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw? I got mine. You got yours? Shout out to our illustrious CEO, Arthur Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real the Poet Douglas, y'all. Man, listen. Reach out to the brother. Tell him thank you for Epiphany Radio. Well, better yet, he happens to be the CEO of also Raw Links. So how about getting you some Raw Links? How about it? Hit them up. Let them know your wrist size, or maybe you might want a necklace. Maybe you might want some earrings. Man, just hit them up. He got what you need and what you want. Tonight's show, let me give a trigger warning for those of you who are healing or haven't healed from tonight's topic. Tonight's topic is, how has your faults destroyed a past relationship? Let's talk about it. How has your fault destroyed a past relationship? And we have a title prompt from Not a Poet for tonight's pieces. If you were here 2 weeks ago and you remember, but the title was Ends Organically. So however that felt to you in your piece, that was with the option for you to bring tonight as well. But let's get into it, right? So how has your faults destroyed a past relationship? You know, I sat back and I thought about this for a very long time, right? And I would probably have to say for me, it probably would have been pride. My pride would have destroyed past relationships. And I'll tell you why, because when you become a husband, you are so responsible for the way the family goes. Your wife is your helpmate, and there's a lot placed upon your shoulders. So for me, it was never asking for any help. Even if I needed help, I just wanted to do it on my own. And that definitely hurt and destroyed some of my past relationships, especially my marriages. There were some times in there where I should have asked for help. But me wanting to do it all in the face of adversity, I guess made them feel a little left out of the decision-making process. I can admit that I was very prideful in those moments because I hate asking for help. It's not one of those things that I feel like I need to do is ask for help. Now, in my later years, certainly I've grown from that point, and now I have no problem asking for help in certain things, just not all things. So I'm still growing. But don't trip. God ain't through with me yet. Thank you, Steve Harvey. But, that's where I am with it. You know, I can own up to where I am as a man, as a person, for those items, for what has happened, right? So let's get into the title of my piece, Ends Organically. There's something organically about the way it ended. Poetic even to say that it was splendid, but I'm left feeling empty. There's a place in this void that's unhealthy. If a bowl of Cheerios were good for this heart condition, even my cardiologist couldn't perform surgery or offer any recommendations. Just a diagnosis of how I could be so blindsided trying to find out the prognosis when the cause and cure is still love, right? But again, it ended organically with no love in sight. Controlled patterns of rage gave way to heartache, and it's laid out in my poetry written on this page. My one true flaw is putting another before myself, praying that it doesn't end organically, and I put my availability on the shelf. I'll sip on my acai berry boost smoothie, hoping it cools off my inferno blazing heart and soothes me. Because the end seems so final. And does it truly have to be organic and so dismissal? The candle that used to burn for love sits all alone. And just like that, a swift wind or a breath of air, and it's gone. So natural, and eventually, it just ends organically. So, flaws, man. How has your faults destroyed a past relationship? Now, don't be shy, everybody. Don't be shy. There's plenty of time for us to have this discussion. Plenty of time. So don't be sitting in the VIP lounge saying, "I'm gonna have me a few more drinks because I need some liquid courage before I go ahead and press that one and open up about this." Go there tonight. Let's have that self-diagnosis. Let's have that awareness of where you are tonight. Let's talk about it. First up on the mic, we have Essentially Janice. Good morning, love. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Hey, Essentially, how are you? I'm so used to saying good morning, network. Welcome to Let's Talk About It, where we do date night differently. How are you this evening?
Hey, I'm great. I did not know I was going to be first on the mic. I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, listen. If it's any consolation, I did go first. I took a cut right down in the middle of my chest. I opened it up, and I exposed my transparency of my heart, right? So I jumped out there first. I jumped first.
This is true. But is this like one of those job interviews where you take a fault, but you spin it, and it's actually a positive? Is that what we're doing? Or not necessarily?
It's up to you. However you choose to spin it, it's up to you. I mean, it's your time. If you want to spin it to a positive, man, I like to hear it.
So let's
talk about it.
I think.
What are your thoughts?
So I think by now we all know that I tend to be a little quiet. That's my new news. The issue with that is when I go quiet, way too much time passes. Things don't necessarily get addressed. And what I've learned over time is that when I need to do that, I need to identify what it is, and I need to label it, and I need to, you know, just ask for space instead of just going quiet indefinitely. Because the other issue is my memory. I don't necessarily come back to what I need to talk about, and it just sits there, and it can fester, and, you know, that my issue is definitely being a little too quiet and not speaking up when I need to.
You know, wow. One of the worst things that a woman can do in a relationship is go quiet.
I thought you were going to say the silent treatment.
Well, same thing, go quiet, silent treatment, same thing.
Do you see that as a saying?
Yeah, because, see, here's the thing. My first wife, okay, she was very good at that. Silent treatment, going quiet, not speaking, not addressing something. And for whatever reason, some women, I'm not going to say all women, but some women feel that that is an effective form of communication to let their mate know that they're not pleased.
Yeah. I definitely see that.
Man,
I experienced that too.
Yeah. And for a man, that can be so, that's the farthest from the truth. I don't know who came up with that idea or who just ran with it, but it irritates us. It agitates us. It upsets us.
Mm-hmm.
And it only further continues the conflict. Whatever is happening, just because you go quiet, just because you give me the silent treatment, just because you and here is the big one. Here is the big one. Just because you've decided to put up walls that we previously had torn down, that is not good. Because after a while, a man will take your silent treatment, your non-communicative form, and start to distance himself. And when you start distancing yourself, either partner, when you start distancing yourself, you are creating an avenue for where the small little problem that you were having to become this huge thing now, because now you're inviting, you're allowing the invitation of someone else to come in and speak to your partner.
So that's a lot right there. I honestly think that there's a difference. Like, sometimes you're supposed to take space so that you can calm down. Sometimes you're supposed to take space so that you can get your thoughts together. It's how much time you allow to pass. Silent treatment to me is intentional. That's a weapon that a person is using by refusing to talk to you. And refusing and pausing, different. However, you do absolutely have to pay attention to the effects and make adjustments if needed, regardless of what's more comfortable. If it's just to take space, if you realize that, okay, my partner is responding, like they feel shut out, make adjustments. But absolutely take space when it's needed. And one of the things that I've learned through friendships and dating in general, I've absolutely learned to communicate differently. I still listen. My default is to listen. And sometimes when your default is to listen, people can forget to ask questions of you or to inquire how you're doing because they're so used to listening. So speaking up is absolutely something that I continue to work on, but I don't necessarily see myself as using it as a tactic. It's part of what I've learned because of my experiences. Sometimes it's how you stay safe by being quiet. You know what I mean? So, but I'm learning and I'm growing.
You know, while I appreciate your point, I do appreciate your point about being quiet. But this is a whole relationship that you two have. This is a whole dynamic. This is a whole partnership. Now, granted, I am one for taking time to not respond in that moment because the response may not be what you want. I do need to take time to reflect and make sure that my position or my response is correct. The problem is, again, I'll say some women, but some women never come back to address why they went silent in the first place.
That's the problem.
Right? Mm-hmm. So us as men, we're left on this ledge to where we often say, ladies, please hear us. We are not mind readers. We cannot read your mind.
Yeah. Either person can circle back to whatever needs to be addressed, too.
Yeah, it has to be. Otherwise, you're silent. You're taking a moment to be quiet. Right? You put that so eloquently. I'm just taking a moment to be quiet. You taking a moment to be quiet is okay. As long as you remember that you must come back and still deal with the situation at hand. Because here's the problem. Here's the other problem that I have. A woman can be quiet with her partner, mate, spouse, whatever, what have you. However, she's got no problem with talking to her friend about it, be it male or female.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So.
I've seen it. Absolutely seen it.
But you're not in the relationship with the male or female
right.
friend.
Yeah, so I'm old school. I don't do that.
It's just so much that we need to unpack. And hopefully, if you can recognize your fault, what destroyed a past relationship, how have you addressed it for the future? So, no, y'all don't have to answer that part. That's more like a rhetorical question for you and your thoughts, you and your... in your process, because if you don't address it, guess what? You take that same thing into a new relationship, and chances are it could very well destroy that one too.
Absolutely.
Great way to start the show tonight, man. Woo!
I'm glad I had at least one glass of wine. Jeez. Oh, another one.
I love it. All right, now that we've gotten that out of the way, what piece do you have for tonight?
I didn't get a chance to write on a prompt. I really wanted to. I forgot about it, actually. I want to come back to that, absolutely, that I do have something that I finished today.
Okay, that's fine. Absolutely.
All right.
Mic is yours.
Make sure I was off the speaker. Is the volume okay?
Yes.
I attract bullshit. It's interesting how my first thought and response was, so you, the one who in haste presented acts of love. I never wanted promises. I'm honest enough to crave a case that builds over time. I long for those moments when less is more. I'm waiting for consistency. What am I to do with gift-wrapped uncertainty? This is feeling performative. I'm not even audience. You're looking over my shoulder 40 minutes into your monologue. My lower guard accepts a gist of well-placed bomb. With little regard, you pulled a pin. I heard metal scraping metal. That your warmth as you cupped my hand. You gifted me distance. Left me holding my own undoing. But I've put myself back together more times than I care to count. Owning the growth that's mine, understanding that this time I am my own safe place. Even when I save faith, and I owe myself grace. Essentially, John. You are on mute, sir.
I was muted. Sorry. You're going to play that track for me, too?
Say again?
You're going to play that track for me, too? Thank you.
I will. What?
I'm ready. Go ahead. Tick, 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 tick is what I wish I would have heard to prepare me for the explosion to be felt inside my emotional world. But instead, I got a silent non-notification of this painful bloody explosion, a heart-shaped grenade with my name on it, and because of a decision I made of loving you. The pin has been pulled, now there's red hue. All over my vision of love, a version I have yet to see manifested. Instead, my chokehold of fear has resisted any attempts to hide in a bunker. My emotions only have 0 to 3 seconds to be prepared while I was a sucker, trying to win a battle when it was a war. See, I was the Goliath in this story, and my heart wasn't even the star. The enemy lines were right in my own den. That's when I realized that within those 3 seconds I had to endure. Endure a level of pain from a broken commitment, and sure, I could have raised my white flag a long time ago. But no, I chose to battle and fight day and night. Only to be like a modern-day Iron Man with shrapnel where my used to be. But I'm just a man. In peace. That is a beautiful, beautiful collaboration, essentially Janice and Poetic. Oh, man, I love the way that you put that together, and y'all have got to see the video when she posted. Phenomenal work. Your piece is exquisite. I love it.
I got you. Thank you for working with me. Appreciate you always.
I appreciate you. Now, I'm going to send you on over to that VIP lounge so you can get this bubbly that I had imported from London this time. So make sure you get you a glass or two and just sip on the lover's brew. You see what I did there? I must be a poet or something. Something. All right, one love, one mic. Stick around, enjoy the rest of the show.
One love.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Essentially, Janice coming in, slaying us with that phenomenal ink. Whew, fire. Next up on the mic, ladies and gentlemen, we have one half host of the Love Zone and one half host of Poetic Therapy. We've got La Pearl La Negra. Hey, Danielle.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Yo, that collab was fly. That was dope. I'm feeling that. That was really, really nice. Shout out to you, baby diva. Cool. That was real nice.
It was her idea. I was just honored to just be able to write with her, you know. I mean, it was her idea. I just, you know, she sent me a picture, and I said, you writing to it? Because I write to it, too. And then, but when y'all see the video, oh, man. Man.
Oh, I can imagine. She is really, really good with graphic art. She gives awesome visuals.
She put that thing down. I'm just saying. But La Pearl La Negra, I know you like these kinds of questions. So
wait, let me sit up so I can talk properly. Okay. Go on.
How has your faults destroyed a past relationship? Let's talk about it.
All right. Let me tell you. I know you and a lot of other people have heard me say this several times. I come from a very abusive background, a childhood, and it started extremely early. So my faults were actually coping mechanisms. I didn't see them as faults. I saw them as survival tactics. I got to go back to what you and Janice were talking about the silent treatment. Mine was a, like I said, was a coping mechanism, and it wasn't shutting down or being silent towards him as a form of trying to get a message across. It was to avoid any kind of conflict or being what I am now, very combative, because when I spoke up when I was younger, it was silenced, and I was attacked for it in a very, very nasty way. It wasn't always like I got my butt spanked, but it was more of a mental and verbal abuse. So it's like an instantaneous thing that would come about with me if I felt as though I needed to talk with him about something, and he would start talking in like a disagreeing way. If it sounded just a little bit harsh, I would shut down. So it wasn't so much me trying to punish him, you know, because I didn't like what was going on. It was just something that kicked in with me that I had no control over. It isn't always a thing where we women or your wives want to make you feel a certain kind of way or make you think we believe that you are mind readers and you're just supposed to know what's going on. It isn't always about that. There are different reasons for the silent treatment. Another coping mechanism that I had, quote-unquote, fault, is being an extreme people pleaser. I learned how to mask my emotions and never, well, I do now. I mean, I know I express myself now with no problems because I know who I am. But when I didn't know who I was, I never really learned how to have a healthy expression of anger when people would cross me and make me feel offended or hurt me purposely. But it was normal for me to react that way. because that's how I got along. I had no protection when I was younger. So I kept everything in, and I felt as though if I can make people feel the way that they want to feel, give them a smile all the time, you know, show them that I have the biggest heart all the time, maybe they won't come at me. Maybe they won't dislike me. Maybe I'll be accepted. That was a major issue with me and my relationship. But because of me being that way, all my relationships were toxic. Every last one of them had a level of toxicity where I had brief moments of happiness. I hated being like that, but it was such a normal thing for me that that's what I dealt with. That's what I adapted to. That's what a coping mechanism is anyway. It's adaption to help you feel some kind of comfort. Your body, your brain will naturally switch over to a certain level and protect you that way. Now, the other bad thing about that is addictions come into play because you try to find some way to soothe that pain that you're feeling, that anger, that feeling of abandonment, all of that. I ain't going to take a lot of time because I got a whole lot of to say about it, but that's basically what my faults were, along with other stuff, but I ain't my top fault.
Okay, that's different. That's different. So your faults were your coping mechanisms that you used. Wow. So let's talk about the latter one. People pleaser, right?
Yes. Go ahead.
In your attempt to please people, right? How did that make you feel? Because trying to make sure that everyone is happy, everyone is good, even when you don't want to or when you don't feel like it. Oh my God! I can't even imagine how did you cope with your coping mechanisms? Let me just put it that way.
What it did is I'm gonna tell everybody that's listening, it's very unhealthy to be like that. It's nothing good that comes out of that because it tears it. It starts to wear away at your physiology. Mine was already damaged because of the bone. This disease that I have, the arthritis, I was always in pain, okay? And I still am to this day. Some days are more tolerable than others. But it starts to wear away at you, and it can bring about so much stress mentally that your body will start to break down. And that's what was happening with me until I woke up. But by then, the damage is done because you become dependent on, like I said, you become addicted to something to soothe that. It made me feel like shit. It really, really did because people are very, very unappreciative. They're very greedy. Like I always say, takers have no limits. They're very abusive. They find that they have gained some kind of power, and they use that to their advantage. And don't get me wrong, my niceness, my giving of myself is genuine. It isn't an act that was put on. It was just more of it put out there of me because that was safe. I didn't have to worry about any backlash. I didn't have to worry about people snapping at me. I hated conflict. I really, really did. Now you can't come at me like that because I'm going to give it right back to you. But back then, it was a terrible, terrible feeling. Because it landed me in any kind of relationship. I'm talking about business associates at work, friendships, romantic relationships. They were very, very abusive, and I was taken advantage of because of that, because it's like if I was your girlfriend, she don't mind if I just, you know, gawk at another woman. It's just a little healthy flirting, and that would cause me to go and cry somewhere quiet, hidden, you know, or anything that somebody would say to me, like my husband. He would say stuff like, well, my cousin's table setting is a little bit better. Why don't you try that? And I would. I hated that, but I would do it. I would make the changes every time. It was horrible. I'm trying to tell you. I've been through some things.
Wow.
But that, yeah, it made me feel crap. It made me feel crappy. It really did.
Okay. Awesome. Now that we've gotten that part out of the way, thank you for being transparent and sharing. I love it. What piece?
You know I'm going to strangle you for this, right?
Whatever. I'll die and I'll come back. It's okay.
Oh, man. All right. I have something. It doesn't really have anything to do with this. It has to do with the prompt from wasn't he not a poet? I tried to put it in there somewhere. Yeah.
The mic is yours.
Thank you. This is called Natural Tears. It never interested me what his job was or could be. My heart wants to know what his heart ached for, and was he bold enough to allow the desire it longed for to be that dream come true? Age is never a factor. I wanted to know, would he risk looking like a fool because he knew that true love was the first time. True love for the first time was tangible and all his. That I'll never question his lips, because I just want the poetry in his kiss and my reflection in his eyes, followed by inane moments and so much laughter. To know that I never set rules, because love breaks them all. I want to know, can he open enough for me to breathe with him, to share with him, to be completely naked with him? Does he understand you don't just fall in love, because true love is shared with you? And my selflessness has no bounds. I have so much to share. I want to be starstruck and kissed insane. Can we talk and love and plan? Can I grow old with you and never forget your name? Leave the legacy that will read, natural tears bonded their hearts and true love was shared. So it ended organically. And that's that piece.
Ooh-wee. Ooh. Man, listen. This piece was amazing. Let me start there, right?
Thank you.
These kind of topics, these kinds of questions, takes your pen in a different direction. And this piece, you managed to tie in the question with ends organically. And this was a beautiful, sad piece. And I often say that once you really settle down into your pain when you write, creates some of your most beautifulest ink. And this is no different. Yeah. This is a very, very beautifully written piece. And I'm so glad that you dug deep into the emotions and got that out. I love it.
Thank you. It was pressure.
Oppression. Who does that? Who does that?
I ain't gonna say no name. Poetic. I ain't saying no name.
I'm gonna have to have a talk with that man. I'm gonna have to, you know, station manager's gonna have to have a talk. You know, maybe he'll switch it up in a couple weeks. We'll see how it goes. Maybe he'll switch it up in a couple weeks. We'll see how it goes. Man, look now. I know it's been a minute, but I need y'all to put your horns away. She will be there when I'm done. Can you please let everybody know what you got going on in the Epiphany Radio universe?
I sure can. Alternating Saturday nights with Poetic. I am in Poetic Therapy with Stan the Man Phillips. And that's a place where you can come and release some mental stress through some healthy conversation and some open mic poetry. On Wednesday nights at 9, I am in the Love Zone where I co-host with my sexy, sultry voice diva, Ms. VIP. Now, once again, and as always, the topic is up in the air, but I know that you're going to love what we come up with. So y'all come on by Wednesday night and get caught up in the Love Zone.
Just don't ask Poetic topics. He on some stuff lately.
No, don't.
Some
please,
stuff lately.
Please, y'all. We trying. Listen, I had to back up from asking Poetic for topics because they get very racy. And though I am in my element, I love the topic. Sometimes I need to give my system a break.
I think
playing field.
It's been about a month. Maybe y'all do need to ask the erotic love zone might need to make an appearance. Baby.
God have mercy.
I see you for real. I'm waiting for Adrian. I'm waiting for Baby Love to press one. Go ahead, Baby Love. Go ahead and press one. Go ahead. Press one.
Lord.
All right. Okay, fellas. All right, my bad. Jeez. All right, LaPerla, get on over there, that VIP lounge, before I got to fire some people. Oh, y'all don't like that.
Here I come, fellas.
All right.
All right.
One love, one mic. Ladies and gentlemen, LaPerla Negra, check her out on Wednesdays and every other Saturday. She will be up next Saturday with Stan the Man and Wednesday with Miss VIP. Next up on the mic, we got Amelia T. Davis. Welcome, Amelia.
Good evening, King.
What's going on? I mean, you all settled into your new flat? For those of you who don't watch, you know, Marvel movies and all of that good stuff, Moon Knight, you know, his second episode, and the main character, he calls his pad his apartment, his flat. So, Amelia, you all up in your flat already?
Yes. It's beautiful. It's much better. I'm on the top floor. I got a view, all kinds of amenities at this complex. So, yes.
We fancy. We got amenities. Y'all hear that? We got amenities.
and meeting all kinds of folks.
That's awesome. Congratulations. See?
Thank
God rewards those who diligently seek him.
Absolutely.
I guess we had to talk about that on the Inspiration Factory. Because if Paul was here, you know, Paul would go in. Paul would go all the way in.
You know it. But, I told you started that I felt like it was a blessing in disguise, and it most certainly has developed into that, most certainly. So,
awesome.
Yes, I truly
glad
believe
to hear
that.
It.
Jesus had his hand throughout all of this. Most certainly I do. Now,
wonderful.
As far
glad
as the subject matter.
Yes, let's talk about it. What are your thoughts?
You know, I didn't think to do it the way you did, where you said, you know, basically, like, for example, I would always try to please him, you know.
Okay.
So
okay.
I didn't look at it right. So when you said that, I was looking at it in a different manner than, okay, always giving in to what he wanted was a issue. You know,
okay.
I didn't look at it the way you took your poem. So, but I did it. Well, you'll see when I get to reading my poem. But I didn't think to do it that way.
That's fine. So let's talk about the question, though. How has your faults destroyed the past relationships, not the other person's, yours? Now, you could just pick one.
I don't feel like anything I did contributed, other than, like I said, you know, perhaps always. Okay, I'll tell you this. When we were going to get married, I had told the minister, I am not going to say obey. I am not going to utter that phrase, that word
okay.
in my vows. So is exactly
okay.
what he said. And
there
we are in front of everybody, and he says, submit. Now I'm stuck. I got to say, submit. I'm in front of Yeah, you like that one, don't you? So
yep.
I felt like if there was any kind of disagreement or anything that he wanted, or I had to submit. I might have gave him an argument, you know, occasionally if I felt very strong about one thing or another, but at
okay.
the end of the day, I always submitted. And so, as I said, I think perhaps giving him his way all the time ended up being problematic down the road.
Okay, but, you know, in the beginning of this, you said, well, I don't feel like I've, and you know, our feelings, the way we feel really isn't the truth, right? It isn't the truth. You already, and then we're going to go into it. You're talking about you're not going to say obey. Then you got stuck at submit. At first, I thought you was going to say that you was like Jada Pinkett and you cried all the way down the aisle. That would have been a whole, you know, conversation for a whole nother topic on Let's Talk About It. But you know, I think the...
Done.
You was actually
I was
what?
Walking down the aisle stunned, like numb. And I tell you, because the first boyfriend and Baudry's father, you know, there had been promises of getting married and things fell apart. And so the marriage never came about. So when I met him, you know, almost from the beginning, he's like, you know, I want to marry you. I want this to be serious. And so when the day came, I was in such shock. Walking down the aisle, I was numb. Like, I can't believe this
okay.
is really happening. You know, it
okay.
wasn't tears. It was just like, I can't believe it.
All right, I got you. Okay. I like it. I appreciate your transparency and exposing yourself for the whole Let's Talk About It audience. Because you know, we don't get to do that often, but here we're gonna explore those things. You know, we get to talk about those things. So, thank you for sharing. Now, because I know you brought a piece, some fresh ink for the evening. What did you bring for us?
Okay, so it's called Destroying a Relationship.
Ooh, the mic is yours.
Fussing about unimportant things. Stressing about life can take its toll. He isn't paying attention to me like he did in the beginning. That guy at work is always telling me how wonderful I am. Says he wishes he had a woman like me. My girlfriends say that my man is a dog the way he treats me. Better watch out for his Casanova ways. Now my man is out of work, being lazy, not ever trying to get a job. Every weekend he is hanging out with his buddies. Why are they more important than I? Argue all the time now. He isn't even making love to me anymore. I keep questioning him about why is it that he keeps running over to his buddy's place instead of being here with me. I call him and he doesn't answer his phone. I feel him drifting away. Focusing on a person's behavior and whereabouts sends the message you don't trust them. Trust and communication are two of the biggest factors in a relationship. Destroying a man's ego will ultimately kill your relationship. What your friends say about your relationship should never determine how you interact within that relationship. Your friends only know what you tell them. More times than not, they are jealous and out to tear you away from that person. Far too often, the friend who is downing your love interest is the person who is filled with envy because they want that person for themselves. You can run a man away from spending time with you by constantly complaining about what he is doing wrong. It's easier for him to go be in the company of his friends. Men have emotions. You have to honor them. Nobody wants to feel imprisoned by their mate. Allow healthy me time away from each other. What it takes to connect to a love interest is what it takes to keep them. Once a commitment is made, far too often the behavior changes. Thinking that you have them, there is no need to put the same effort in, will eventually destroy your relationship. You also have to be honest about your expectations and goals. It may be scary to connect on a deep level if you have been burned in the past. You can't treat your new person as if they were the old person. In other words, you must heal whatever painful experiences before you enter into a new relationship. You can't project your issues from the past into a new relationship, so you must drop your walls, your mask, and allow the new person to see who you are deep inside. Only then can you have a strong, unbreakable bond. In addition to having God in the center of your relationship, pray together, read the Bible together, listen to Christian music together, go to church together. Allow your man to be a man. Don't attempt to run the relationship. Find a man that is worthy of trust and respect. Then commit to allowing him to be the man that leads your relationship. too often we don't talk about the important issues before going into a serious relationship, such as future goals, financially what is expected, communication issues, what is expected from each other within the relationship. If you find someone who values you, adores you, regardless of your faults and failures, along with your positives, you better give your all in staying with them in your relationship. Those kinds of people are hard to find. Too often in our world, people are only interested in what they can get out of a person, money, sex, status. If you have someone devoted to you, keep them. Love is beautiful if treated correctly. Love unconditionally. Musings of Emilia T. Davis, a.k.a. Poetical Angel Queen, and peace.
Thank you so much for that, Emilia, for bringing those items that, you know, let us know what would destroy a relationship. You know, I really dug that. So put that on the event page so that people can see. But one of the key things in there that you spoke of is what me and Janice was talking about at the beginning of the show was communication. I don't know how many times
exactly.
I can say it, but communication is the number one thing that will destroy your relationship. If it breaks down, followed by selfishness, you can solve those two issues in any relationship. That relationship would last forever. Last forever. But hey, what do I know? I'm just a two-time offender from marriage. You know, what do I know? I don't know nothing. But hey, so thank you so much for your peace.
I agree. Communication is the most important because you can have misunderstandings. You know, for example, say a past woman said or used to have a certain phrase, and that bothers you when you hear that phrase. Well, your new woman uses that phrase, but she uses it in a different way. If you don't express to her, oh, that phrase kind of bothers me when I hear it, then she's not going to understand it. And by communicating that amongst each other, then you come to a better understanding of each other, and then the relationship grows.
Right. Right, absolutely. Absolutely. Again, communication. But please put that on the event page. One love, one mic. We'll get you over to the VIP lounge. You know, they got some grape juice for you if you don't want the champagne. You know, it's, you know, yeah.
One love, one mic, and I'll
be
speaking with you tomorrow.
All right, sounds good. Ladies and gentlemen, on her way to the VIP lounge, Miss Emilia T. Davis. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. Tonight, it's Let's Talk About It, where we do date night differently. The dial-in number is 319-527-6300. And by all means, please press 1 when you get here. If you are already here, and this conversation is intriguing you so much that you're not sure if you want to press 1, you're not sure if you want to commit, go ahead and press 1. Commit. Expose yourself. Be transparent. Let's have some good, healthy conversation. Hey, what you have to say just might help someone else. I am your host, Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic. And let's keep this show going. Let's get to our next poet who happens to be one half host of King and Queen Quarters. Here on Epiphany Radio, we got King Atterbury in the building. What's good with you, King?
What's going on, bro? Over at the plantation, man.
The plantation, man. Oh, that's a rough place to be in.
Yeah, the master gave me a 15-minute break.
I hear that. Hey, man, well, I appreciate you for taking your 15 minutes to hang out with us here tonight, man. We got a heck of a topic that we discussed, man. I just have to hear your take on it, man. So let's talk about it. How has your faults destroyed a past relationship?
Man, many years ago, I just was like a little reckless and messy, man. You know, didn't really have the tools to just commit all the way, you know, all the flirtatious ways and just like, oh, no, that's just a friend. You know what I mean? But she saw the signs and symbols, you know what I'm saying, saw the writing on the wall. But she still was right there. But, you know, at the end of the day, everything just, it collapsed. You know what I mean? But I had a good 9-year run though. but you know, I'm saying it was always some work, you know what I'm saying? But like I said, I didn't really have the tools. The tools that I probably had at that time is not the tools I have today. You know what I mean? It was always the apology, the, you know, I'm not gonna do it again, or, you know, it was just kitty shit, you know what I mean? Like,
man, listen, you know that I know that I ain't never gonna do it again thing. Oh man, you know that, we know that ain't true.
Her favorite thing was saying too, like she would always like, you know what? And I was like, oh boy. And you know, I was dealing with a Gemini, so.
Shout out to y'all Geminis. Y'all got two sides, y'all. Shout out to y'all. My great-grandmother was a Gemini. My best friend is a Gemini. Y'all definitely got multiple sides. That is true.
Yeah, so feel my pain. Nah, man.
But that's serious though, man. So you would say that the flaw that you're talking about would be your flirtatious flaw, right?
Flirtatious ways, man. You know. She would peach it. I mean, just like, you know, a few others, but you know,
man.
You get older, you learn from your mistakes and shit. But you know.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you, my ex-wife, man, she had to check me one time in a store with a cashier, and I'm gonna tell you, I'm being straight up. She told me I was flirting. I swear to God, I did not see any sign of me flirting. I literally was just having a conversation with the person that was checking me out. Because I think it's rude for you to just stand there and let somebody check you out and you not have a conversation with them. I mean, they're doing a service, right? I mean, if you don't want to have somebody checking you out, man, go to self-checkout. I purposely cashier because I want to have a conversation. I don't want to stand there and scan my stuff in and put my own stuff in the back. I don't work at the store. I don't work there.
No, true facts. I hear you.
But man, she had to check me when we came out the store. She said, "Why were you flirting with her?" Right in my face. I said, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "You were so nice. You were smiling. You were just kinda..." I said, "Is it a crime for somebody to smile and be nice to another person?"
That's the shit I got hit with. You smiling, looking into her eyes, different people. I was like, oh, shit, what the fuck? I said,
right.
I was just being nice.
I mean,
know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the ladies, she said, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Whatever.
Let me tell you what she said to me. She said, "How would you like that if that was me doing that?" I said, "What? What would you be doing? Just having a conversation with the dude checking you out, you know? Okay, so what? Did I give her my number? You were standing right there. Did I exchange phone numbers?" She had the audacity to say no, but maybe you might go back and do it. I said, "Oh my God. Oh my God."
Damn. Yo, that's crazy.
Yeah, but that's wow. But I understand that, bro. Because you know, when you are flirtatious, like when you are flirtatious, you know, and your mate, your partner gets wind of it, and they see it, it could create this trust issue within the relationship,
right.
And we all know once that trust is broken, it is hard, super hard to get that back. It's hard to get that back.
Oh, I had to work. You know what I mean? She was like, "That's just who you are." She said, always smiling
wow.
and looking at people in their eyes and stuff. I was like, but you know what? I ain't going front. She was telling the truth.
Oh, man.
But I wasn't doing it on purpose. I was just being nice. But,
you know. Yeah.
And then she was like, the way she looked at you, I was like, oh, God, here we go.
Right.
Here we go
right.
again.
It
was like the force of beast going, here I go again.
Oh, man. But, yeah, but that's true. But I could dig it, man. I could dig it. And that's just something. That's just, again, it can be something that can be resolved with communication.
Right.
The right communication to resolve it. So, I man, wow. You just brought back some memories, bro. Something I didn't even want to think about.
Yeah, I'm just saying, bro. You know what I'm saying? I saw the subject matter. I just went there. I had to open up that chest. You know what I'm saying? Of all those little
past
memories, I ain't even want to really walk down that street. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it is what it is, though, man. You know?
Yeah, I feel you,
I'm
bro.
Here now. I'm here now. So
That's what I'm talking about, man. It don't matter. That's what I'm talking about. All right, man. Glad we got that out, man. Appreciate your transparency, man. A lot of men won't open up about them being flirtatious in a relationship, you know, in their past, and that definitely was a demise. So I appreciate you for doing that, man. That's right.
Hold
That's
down,
right. The minute of epiphany, speak up and speak out. What piece did you bring for us tonight, bro?
Well, yeah, I got this piece called Audi 5000, man.
Mic is yours, bro.
All right. Excuse me. Miscommunication on many occasions. Once faced with blues after dating while some were hating. When I was home, I wasn't home. Entertained another zone. She was feeling all alone as I returned to the unknown. Tired of being tired. Passed before we expired. What was required didn't acquire really much what was desired. Abused what was ready, became petty when she left me. When she returned as a medley singing I'm sorry, it was deadly. Payback was a bitch that I missed. I ducked quick. So much unwanted shit that I ditched, left out in the mist. Smoke wasn't cleared, but the air was polluted. Although I eluded the problem, yet couldn't really move it. Lasted about 6 months and some change being strange. Switched up the game, now I live outside my name. Prayed on being forgiven, on all wrong I had done. To this day, I'm the one who became the hidden son. Still felt internally, even on the darkest days. My external inferno created a maze within a haze, allowing a sunset view inside the Institute of Pain. Even the energy of the full moon couldn't take away the shame. Manned up and apologized. Through my words, they were scrutinized. On the bed, she lied, starting to cry, saying goodbye. And that's that piece, King.
Boy, tell them how you really feel, King. Hey, man, this was a dope piece, too, man. Fire Ink, man. Again, more truth, man. And did you say she sleep on a bed of lies, bro? Did I hear that right?
Nah, she, on the bed when she lied, you know, like lied down.
Okay. Woo. All right. Yeah, got you. Man, because I was taking that piece a whole another direction for real. But nah, man, that was dope, man. Your ink is always on point, man. Dope.
It was a true story, though. You know what I'm saying? I can only speak my truth on it, man. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I could dig it. Hey, man, before I get you on over to the VIP lounge so you can, you know, sip a little bit of that champagne before you got to run back to the party. Let everybody know what is going on your show in the radio.
Monday, 9 p.m., in Epiphany Universe, King and Queen's Quarters, with my fellow host, Queen Simmons, King and Queen Quarters. Be here this Monday, Tuesday, Poetry Corner on Let's Talk, YouTube and Facebook, 8 p.m. Me and Queen Simmons again. So we got some things coming up, you know what I mean? So,
I'm glad to be here. We're glad to have you, bro. We're glad to have you, man. We can't wait till Monday.
Thank you, bro.
And then we can't wait till Tuesday. Man, y'all just rocking, man. Y'all just rocking. I love it, man. I love it. Now, going over there to that VIP lounge, man, grab your guest of that bubbly. Hey, just, Ace, don't sip it too fast. I know you got to get back, but if you sip it too fast, you might be stumbling back, all right?
Oh, no, what's that?
I said I heard the champagne is pretty potent, so.
Well, that's okay. Prepared. It's checkout time at 11 o'clock, man.
I know that's right, bro. All right, bro. One love, one mic, man.
One love, one mic. Peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, peace. That is King Atterbury. Check him out Monday nights here on Epiphany Radio with his co-host, Queen Simmons. Hey. And then check them out on Tuesdays. I mean, live, y'all. Let's Talk Poetry Corner. I mean, live. And you might see a few of us hanging up in there, you know, doing a few things. Oh, man, I feel so honored. And man, I'm humble right now because the next caller happens to be the CEO of Epiphany Radio, as he like to say. For real, the Poet Douglas Show. Baby, baby. What's good, bro?
Take yourself off. What it do, Poetics? What it do? What it do?
Man, doing great, brother. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing all right, Poets. Man, I'm having a good time, you know, with myself over here. I see y'all over here talking about it tonight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I mean, you made an appearance a few moments ago, man. You know,
I did.
You must have pressed, you know, opened up your mic and had a quick conversation and got back out. But it's all good. You here now, so good to have you, bro.
Okay. Hey, thank you. It's good to be here.
So, man, let's gotta hear from you, man. Gotta hear from you because this.
I don't feel like talking about it.
Let's talk about it. You said you don't want to talk about it. No, we gotta talk about it, man.
Yeah, I don't feel like talking about it, man.
You got
it's opening up old wounds, bro. That's what I talked about, bro.
You press one, man. Listen. We got a next Saturday there'll be a therapist available to help you go through it. You just got to deal with the pain for
Saturday?
A week or so.
What about
but,
tonight?
This no, not tonight. There's no therapist tonight. We you just got to you just got to get it out. You just got to get.
Hang myself. You know, after I heard Miss Pearly and Amelia T. Davis, I wanted to hang myself in the middle of both of their pieces. So now you want me to talk about my situation. You know, Joelle's piece was pretty good. Joelle did pretty good. I didn't, you know, reawaken any old memories and stuff. Shit, you know.
All right. So La Pearl and Negra, Amelia T. Davis, y'all had the boy ready to hang himself, you know. Ready to jump off a ledge with y'all pieces. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to help each other. So for real, the poet.
Yes. Yes, sir.
But how has your fault destroyed the past relationship, bro? Your fault, man. How has it destroyed the relationship? Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking that I've been hearing a similar tone from everyone that's spoken on the on the question, you know, and answering your question. I've been hearing a familiar ring. I'll say this. I'll be transparent in my situations. Because for the longest time, as long as I wasn't being abusive, you know, calling myself being a good brother, a good man, to my woman, to my lady, I thought everything would be cool. See, because I wasn't cheating or anything like that. It was the small things that sometimes men don't see that was the crutch in the relationship, was a fault in my behalf. I didn't see it. I didn't understand it. And the greater thing was communication.
Okay.
It was communication. I'll give you an example. Okay, I've grown so much since then. I see it now and I understand it now. And what I mean by communication is this. I'm the kind of person, I come up handling things on my own, taking care of my business. If I was going through something, it's a way that I handle myself when I'm going through that in order to deal with whatever the situation is. You know, I isolate myself. I internalize things, but I'm quiet. I'm quiet so I can figure it out, so I can, you know, best lay down my moves that I'm going to make, which path I'm going to take, things like that. But in doing so, when you're with someone that you care about, that you call yourself sharing your life with, and you shut down like that, and you don't share, I don't like sharing negativity. I don't like sharing my issues. Like I said, I like working them out, but that became a problem. With one particular female that I was dealing with, she was upset extremely that I would not share what I was going through with her.
Wow.
You know, that became an issue. That became a problem. Maybe she thought I was hiding something or I couldn't trust her. But, yeah, I should have been able to. I don't have no problem, but I'm going through this, and this is the way I handle, you know, myself, how I pace myself and not let myself snap, you know?
Right. Now, question.
Yes.
Did you communicate that to her prior to you having that first moment when it occurred? Did she know that that was what you do, that's how you deal with it?
No, I didn't. Because it was something that just came up. And I got quiet, and, you know, she wanted to know why, this and that, you know. And you know how you do. Yeah, I'm all right. I'm okay. But you're a little out of character to this person. You know, it was just like I said. I was saying, you know, you say that. We say that sometimes to each other. I'm okay, babe. I'm good. But you're out of character still. And they're feeling like something is going on. And, you know, I'm just being myself. I don't want to pass this to her, but I'm telling her I'm okay. Everything is good. Once again, that's out of character, though. But then I did tell her in that process, you know.
Okay.
And but by that time, we had been going through, you know, she's wondering what's going on. She's doing this. I think I put her through, it wasn't a whole lot, but it was a while before I said, look, this is how I handle my situation. You know, this is just me.
Gotcha.
This is who I've been for years. This is how I do.
Okay.
You know, I have to think. I shut down. You know, so, but it took me a while to understand. I don't know if it's a woman's thing or man or woman thing. I don't know this one particular woman was really hurt by me withholding what I was going through. So,
well, I mean, did you see it from her perspective? Did you ever see it from her perspective? I mean, here she is, the woman in your life. And I can see it now
from her perspective.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I couldn't see it back then.
Okay.
You know, like my brother said before me, the tools I was using back then is different from the tools I'm using now.
Right.
I wish I would have seen it, but it happened for a reason. It was growth.
Yes, sir.
I've learned from that.
Okay.
You know?
I could dig it. And it's good that you – and I guess, you know, this particular question that I'm asking tonight is twofold. One, have you identified what caused the breakdown? And two, now that you've identified what caused the breakdown, how are you handling it for future, which is a rhetorical part of the question where I said that I don't need your answer for that. I don't – you know, that's something for you to decide. I mean, it's kind of like – why people go to therapy, right? Why people talk to other people. You know, I have this issue and I need to talk to a professional about it. Now I'm talking to this professional. They're helping me, like Danielle said, but she had unhealthy coping mechanisms.
Yes,
but
she does.
Now you're talking to this therapist or this person that you trust, and they're giving you positive and healthy coping mechanisms to help you be prepared to walk into that next newness of the relationship that you aspire to be in.
Mm-hmm. I feel that.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Hey, man, I appreciate
you.
I appreciate you exposing yourself, bro.
Hey, man, you know, I just try to keep it real. So, you know, that's why the one after her, I told her all my business when I needed help with my bills and everything like that. She was going crazy. They were pretty crazy for it. I thought, look, this is what the problem I'm going through right now. She said, damn, you always got problems. I said, yeah, I always have. I used to keep them to myself, but that got me fucked up. So now I'm telling you, you know what I mean? You can't win for loser, man.
You right.
Baby, baby.
Oh, man. You're so right, bro. You are so right.
You know what I'm saying?
But like, you just gonna throw up all your problems all over my feet? Yeah, you here? You the woman in my life?
Yeah.
What you mean?
Pile them on. Mm-hmm. I ain't want what happened the last time to happen again, but it did. And once again, I added it to the book of list of things to not to do, and that I learned from.
I got you, bro. Man,
I'm serious.
Oh, trust me, I know. But in that vein, brother, now we've gotten that out of the way, man. What piece would you like to share with us tonight?
All right, so here we go, bro. This is what I did. I'm going to share with you a piece that I just picked up my pen because I wanted to participate in this, you know, the thing that you got going on tonight. So I just picked up my pen type. So I just finished writing this. It has no name. I will call it Here I Sit. Ooh, you just made me knock my beer over. I call it
Man.
Here I Sit.
The mic is yours, bro.
Okay. So here I sit under an unlit candle silhouette, reminiscing on some old feelings of when a lit candle's glow held so much meaning, getting emotional, self-evaluating the inner me, my inner being, my faults, this thing within me that I can't see, unable to, busy watching you, loving, caring for you, hard to see the cracks in me when all I see is you. I'm sure that I have a few. Everyone does. We all do, see. I think that I love too much, share too much, give up myself too much, worry about other people than more than I do myself. What about me? I talk too much. I talk too much. I ramble on too much. I told them that I love them too much, from the crack of dawn to the early morn to the edge of night, because I did, and I love telling them. Maybe that was too much. I swear sometimes I tried to check myself, tried to stop myself from saying it so much. My fault. But when it comes to love, I'm a repeat offender. Criminal, huh? See, because I love you. Right now, I'm reflecting, wondering in this dimmed room. Lights turned down, looking in the mirror, trying to see the me that you see, love. Was it that I didn't like sharing misery with you? My problems, if I had them with you? Sorry, my fault. I don't like sharing negativity with anybody. I'm used to dealing with things internally. Sorry. That didn't give you a chance. See, that didn't give you a chance to be there for me the way you wanted to be. That I didn't see or understand. My bad. I'm just that kind of man. My fault. I used to isolate, keep things to myself, shut down. But when you love someone, care for someone, when you're sharing life with them, there has to be communication. That's one fault. I had to learn how to communicate. But I still loved you anyway. Through the silence, showed you nonviolent. You should have known that I loved you. Words don't always need to be spoken when you're being showed them. But number one, I'm following that one. People that really care about you get hurt feelings when you're not willing to open up and share your problem. It don't even gotta be about romance. I figure as I stand reflecting in this mirror that is me, that the man I see cares too much, gives too much of self, always there for someone else, no one else there for me. That's why I keep shit to myself. I'm not used to help, receiving help from someone else. But that's my fault. I'm addicted. I got a bad habit. I'm hooked on taking care of someone else. My fault. Maybe I cared too much. Maybe I gave too much love, too hard, trusted so much. Maybe. My bad. My fault. So, here I sit under an unlit candle silhouette, reminiscing. Here I sit, for real.
Yo, 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 for real, the poet Douglas, man. Did you just pick up your pen, bro?
Did you
had a flashback? You had a flashback? Pick up your pen? You had a flashback?
Yeah.
Let me just, this was an exquisite piece. Very dynamic. I love what you did with it. And just the, you know, in the beginning of the piece, you talked about the candle in the silhouette. And that was brilliant. That was brilliant. And then you concluded talking about that candle. Hey, man, I felt like it was great going to a whole another piece. I told you, you know, when y'all pay attention to the poets that you adore the most, or that you read or listen to the most, and for real is one of those poets for me, where I analyze his work really well, and he always seems like, even though he's closing his piece, that he's ready to start another piece. And I dig that about your poetry, bro. And, I'm a huge fan. You know, just an amazing
Thank
poet.
Thank you, bro.
Awesome.
Thank you.
So I appreciate you, brother. Hey, man, I would.
You would do?
I said I would ask you what you got going on the Epiphany Radio Universe, but you kind of.
Don't do that.
Yeah. So how about we just talk about Raw Links? Can you let the family know about
your
fine jewels and gems and your exploding Amazon store, bro? Can you let the people
know? Yeah, sure can, bro. Hey, Raw Links, precious gems, precious stones, crystals and metals, however you like it. They got them healing properties to them. They're not only for healing or spiritual awareness, but they're fashionable. You know what I'm saying? You can find me at Facebook, of course, under Raw Links, B-Raw, Facebook.com, or under Arthur Larry D. Maddox, and soon to be at Amazon. Amazon got me working, bro. It take a lot to get up in there. But you can find me soon to be at Amazon as well. But if you need something, just reach out to myself or my brother Van Meadows. He'll lead you the way. And that's that piece. It's your baby.
Take your socks off. That's what I'm talking about, bro. Hey, man, listen, congratulations on the success of your Raw Links. Why be average for you to be raw? Hey, man, just make sure you keep that's the promos, man. Keep tagging us so we can go ahead and keep supporting. And, man, listen, I'm still waiting on that one we talked about, bro. I'm still waiting on that one that we talked about.
Oh, I just made it, bro. I just made it.
I need to see the pictures, bro.
Hey, you got sound effects, man. It sounds like you said, asking why you're in the middle of you talking. Did you do that on purpose?
No, man, I didn't do that on purpose. It kind of just happened.
Hey, let me share with you something real quick. Can I share with you something creative? What when I said I was picking up my pen on that piece, I have
Absolutely.
Picked it myself. You know, when we think about romance and the good times, and you're in that feeling, and to me, a lit candle accentuates that. I am drawn to romantic. When you set the scene for romance, it seems like a candle always takes place in that. Okay, I see myself at a round table, a table for two, you know, nicely made up and everything, lit candle. But when you asked us to question our faults. I really wanted to see what was, you know, what's my issue. We don't hardly see our issues within us. Either we refuse to see them or we don't
right.
see them. We don't know. Like I said, I wasn't cheating on this woman. I don't cheat on a lot of women, but it was, and sometimes I was pissed off because I remember saying that. I didn't even fuck around on you or nothing like that, you know what I'm saying? And you going to leave me for this bullshit? You know, you know, sometimes we think that's what matters. But anyway, in paint, I painted a picture for myself at this table with an unlit candle, which to me means, you know, the opposite of that lit candle. And I was seeking or searching inside myself within that, you know, to find out what could have been my problem. A lot of times I know it is because you can teach someone how to treat you by what the things that you allow. You can get run over, get up with track marks on your face, still you smiling. You can treat someone, you can teach someone how to treat you.
Yeah.
So when you say, and I heard a lot of people say that they cared too much, they loved too much, they did this, that, and the other too much. And you can look at some other relationships where you don't see that other person getting any of that, and the motherfucker is like, you know, well respected by their significant other. You know what
wow.
I mean?
Wow. Yeah. Oh yeah.
So that's how I sat down and wrote that, sitting at a table with an unlit candle, and seeking what could be my issue. Now, the one that I did pinpoint was that communication, and communication turns out to be the biggest one in most relationships.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, and we think it's insignificant. Like I said, I was protecting her from my issues. I don't want to pass her my problems. But I didn't give her a chance. I didn't allow her to be there for me the way she wanted
yeah.
to be there for me. So that was an issue. And that, I'm going to leave it at that. I just wanted to share that part of it.
No, I appreciate that, man. Really appreciate that, man, because, you know, it's important that we understand that, man. And you sharing your creative process on that piece, we're digging deep. You know, the candle is out. You just sitting there thinking about what is it about you? What did you do? Yeah, I feel that,
what
bro.
What did I do to blow that candle out?
Yeah.
I want that
yeah.
candle relit.
Yes, sir.
And that's that piece, bro. Hey, one love, one mic, man.
One love, one mic, bro. Go ahead, get on over there to that VIP lounge, man. Get some of that imported London champagne. Don't worry about the bill. I got that covered, you know. Yeah.
I heard that before. Mm-hmm. baby.
All right, bro. One love, one mic. Continue to take your socks off.
One love.
Ladies
All right.
and gentlemen, that is our CEO, author Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real, the Poet Douglas. Man, hey, y'all, listen, this next poet that's about to come up, man, I feel like this is his theme song, man, because every time, you know, he comes to the mic, man, I feel like this is his theme song, right? Let me give you a little bit. Let me see.
Wait a minute, this love started off so tender, so sweet, but now she got me
smoking out the window. To spend $35,000, $45,000 up in Tiffany's.
Oh, no.
Got a badass kid.
Ladies and gentlemen, J. Rob, the wise son, one half host of the Get Down, Mr. DSP, the Dark Knight himself. What's good, my brother?
That's funny.
This guy.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's right.
Man, that's exactly how I feel after they leave me, man. I'm like, they're like, why are you crying?
This bitch. Hey, Joe sitting, J-Rob sitting outside with his cigar, singing, oh no.
And Van is like, J-Rob, you all right? Oh no. Like, I don't wish nothing bad on you, baby. But I hope you out here barefoot in these streets. Come on.
right. Man, what's good, bro, man? Good to have you here, brother. How's your Saturday been, man?
Well, Saturdays are really my Sundays because of my work schedule, but it was a good day. I got stuff done. Got a chance to go to the barber. Got a chance to sit in the seat and chop it up a little bit. Listen to the BS that we throw out when we're in the barber seat. So life is good. Put out a couple of pieces today and was like, listen.
It was fire too, bro. It was fire too, man.
I try to tell people that poetry month, this ain't the everyday stuff y'all gonna get. There's some other stuff in there, and just hold on to your seatbelt because there's something else coming. So I'm just humbled that people are digging what I'm writing, and I'm just trying to keep people interested in the material. That's all.
Oh,
so
man,
thank you for that.
No, man, it's you're welcome, bro. It's J. Rob the Wise Son, man. Who not gonna be interested in his material, bro? Have you spent time with J. Rob the Wise Son? You spent time with him. You see what he write? Do you hear what he write? Man, listen, I'm telling you,
yeah,
it's something.
I'm just talking from a particular place that I think a lot of people can relate, and just hoping that someday along that line, people are like, okay, he ain't so bad.
He's so modest. Yeah, he's so modest. This brother's
His mother raised him okay. He ain't so bad.
He's so modest, y'all. Y'all hear this?
I'm just trying to be a good cat, man. So at the end of the day, I just want to be a good dude. And I want people to be like, you know what? He all right with me. And if they can say that, then I'm in a good space. How you doing?
Oh, man. Hey, man, I'm doing great, man. You know, I got my kids. This weekend's my weekend. And then my two of my kids is on spring break next week. And it's my week, my year for spring break. So I got them all next week. Oh, man. I'm pretty ecstatic, bro. I'm pumped up about it.
Good.
So my weekend was great, man. Weekend's great, you know. And it's not over because I'm going to get up tomorrow morning. I'm going to fix my kids some of my homemade French toast, sausage and bacon, scramble some eggs and cheese, make them some grits. Oh, man. Yeah, that's if I feel good enough, too. They told me I'm not supposed to be lifting nothing for 6 weeks. I said 6 weeks. Jeez. I got another 2 weeks, 4 weeks to go. But I'm good, though, man. You know, life is good. No complaints.
As long as you're all right, bro.
I'm good.
As long as you're all right. That's all I care about. As long as you're all right.
I'm good.
Interesting topic this evening.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to say, man, let's talk about it, man, because I know.
Very
good. I know my wise son, because he's wise, y'all. How has your false man destroyed a past relationship, man? Let's talk about it, man.
Well, I won't get that deep with it. I will say that I have been guilty of allowing someone to slip through my fingers because I was too proud to beg. And not begging in the traditional sense, just too proud to be like, you know what?
He about to get his keep sweat on, y'all. Go ahead, bro.
No, real talk, man, to the point where I can give very good advice now. I can tell brothers in my circle, avoid what I did.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm really, really committed in my lodge, in my shrine. And I'm like, fellas, keep your lady. And if you're going to keep your lady, this is what I need you to do. Don't do what I did. Take her out on once a month. Turn your phone off. Be with your lady. Tell all the fellas, can't reach me till Monday. What if it's an emergency? If it ain't my mother, it's not an emergency. We got kids. If it ain't my children, it's not an emergency. Don't do like I did. Just focus on all the other stuff, figuring that she's going to be there at the end. And nah. Because at the end of the day, I could say a woman taught me a valuable lesson by coming to my home while I was packing to go away. And she's like, can't do this. I'm out.
Wow.
And it got in my head so bad that on my way to the airport, I was in a head-on collision.
Jesus.
In Harlem at like 10 o'clock in the morning. So, yeah, I was like, all right, lesson learned. So I tell people all the time, avoid my mistakes. Talk to your girl. Take her out. Treat her wherever she needs to be, wherever she needs to go. Remind her she's important and what have you, and it'll take care of itself. But as long as she can have one day, it's like, look, there's 4 weeks in a month. I got this thing that's going on that you know about. But once a month, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it's me and you against the world. That's all I need.
Wow.
And if that was enough, I'm like, that's cool, because we had different big events coming up. And I'm like, at the big events, I'm the one that's being honored. I need you by my side so that you can be the first lady or what have you. And she's like, yeah, no. And she wound up marrying the dude that she left me for.
Are you serious?
I shit you not.
Wow.
And I give it to you even worse than that. I lost my job. Because people will tell you, you already shook hands with your replacement. That's true.
Wow.
I met the cat. Didn't know him, but I met him. But the brother wound up giving me a call when I was unemployed, and he was like, listen, I heard you lost your job. My company's hiring. If you can send me your resume, I'll put in a good word for you. Like, you took my girl, and now you tell me to send you my resume.
Wow.
You got a better chance of Louis Farrakhan having sex with the Jewish woman than that happening to me, though.
Hey, man, that's pretty deep, man. That's you know, at least you got the opportunity to, you know, you know who it was. You know, I could probably shake hands with this dude.
The only reason I knew who it was is because I was on her Facebook page, and I seen the dude. And I was like,
okay.
That called me?
Wow.
And I was like, you left me for... man, listen.
Unreal.
You know, before that, it's because I didn't have enough money. And she told me, she was like, you know, I'm a diva. And, you know, divas don't really date broke dudes, but you got a whole lot of other stuff going for you. But you got to get your money up. Because I can't be doing these cheap dates with you. And of course,
wow.
My car got in the way. And I was like, I said, then you need to be with a dude that's going to spend every waking moment spending all of his cheese on you. Because I'm not doing it.
That's right.
Money.
That's right.
Yeah, I was like, I got comic books. I have no money. And sure enough, she was like, kiss some comic books, baby, because I'm out. That hurt, but
all right,
hurt
thank
like
you.
The last one.
Thank you as you pull out your $2,000 comic and be like, yeah, I could go cash this in right now, but I wait till it gets more expensive. See you later, honey.
Yeah, it was something else, dude. So.
Hey, man, that's good, though, man. I mean, from the standpoint that now you can advise others not to make the same mistakes as you did. So it was for a reason that you had to go through that. And, you know, for all of us, it's a reason why we have to go through the things that we have to go through when it comes to relationships.
I wasn't jockeying for a position to go through it. I didn't like it, man. But I will
I know,
tell
bro.
You this.
I understand.
Heartache is good for your diet. Because if you're heavy,
yeah, you can lose weight quick.
Will make you lose weight.
Quick, bro, quick.
You don't want to eat. All the songs in the radio pertain to your relationship. It's heavy.
Yeah, man. That's true. Y'all hear
Bruno speaking. Mars. Said Bruno Mars. Bruno Mars is now my hero. So
yeah.
Next relationship I get into, if we don't make it, it ain't my fault.
That's it. That's it, man.
Smoking out the window is going to be my theme.
That's, hey, man, that is your theme song. What you talking about? I already know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your favorite line. I hope you wet barefoot.
Yep. I hope you're walking barefoot out here in these streets. Watch out.
Oh, man. Hey, man, I appreciate you for sharing your insight on the topic, man. As painful as it may be for some, even if that's a painful memory for you, but you managed to talk it through and help somebody, man. And I appreciate you for that, man. I appreciate your transparency.
It's painful transparency, but
It is. So, my good brother, now that we've gotten that part out of the way, man, what piece, which one of J-Rob's masterpieces would you like to drop on us tonight?
Bah, he flatters me. He said masterpieces. Like, I'm all that good. I'm just borrowing words, brother. But I got a piece.
All right, brother, the mic is yours.
The name of this piece is called Why She Left Me. I know why she feels the way she feels, and I gave her no reason to feel any other way. I mean, let's be honest. I put her through a selfish type of agony only reserved for people that didn't deserve the bullshit that I was feeding on a plate of hot mess. Looking back at everything, I can honestly say that I was the living embodiment of a walking, self-centered contradiction of lies disguised as her dream come true without living out anything except for a nightmare type of a lifestyle. And I'm haunted. Haunted by the fact that her leaving me was the best thing she could ever do, because deja vu has a way of catching up with you. And it's hard to say that she was right. She was right for turning her back and not looking back. And as a matter of fact, in between the cries, the lies, and the alibis, while I was sitting here mad at her for choosing her, the reason she left me proves why my mirror never lies. And every time I take a look in the mirror, I ask the person looking back at me, could you ever relive that all over again? And the answer's still the same. She left. She left because you did not do right. Future notice. If I promise to do right from now on, will you promise not to leave me and work it through? If you promise not to leave me again, can we work it through, and can I keep it all together with you? And if I can't have anything else except you, at least give me another reason that you left except that it was me. Because this leaving me shit is all agony. And that's the piece.
Yeah. Didn't I tell you that he had a masterpiece? This leaving me is agony. Those lines right there, bro. Those lines right there have me not being able to sleep at night. Waking up in cold sweats, sweating just for no reason. Agony. Agony is a different kind.
Man. Yes, sir.
Especially when you love someone. You know, because sometimes you go through moments of, I'm not going to lie to you, you go through moments of, nah, I really didn't love that person. And then you make love to somebody else, you feel like you're cheating on them, and y'all been broke up.
Oh, that part.
Real men think.
Mm. That part right there, bruh. Until you see the pictures of her and her new man, and you like, damn, she really ain't coming back.
Bruh. Oh, man.
He's like, she really ain't coming back, is she?
Yeah.
Nah, she'll be back. No.
She not.
She really ain't coming back.
She ain't at all.
She you're like, that ship has sailed, and that fantasy is now a dream that will never come true.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself.
Yep. Enjoy life. Enjoy life.
Enjoy life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm, bruh. And if I could be further transparent, the first time I saw them together in person, I was sick to my stomach. She was polite.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Jay, how you doing? Bruno Mars song didn't come out yet, so I was like, I'll be all right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the people who know that you used to date,
oh,
like, wow. She brought him here? Wow.
You going to be all right? Right. You going to be
wow.
all right? Stop asking me, am I going to be all right? Do I look all right?
You're like, do I look all right? I'm just saying, you don't look good. You're like, well, I don't feel like the dream come true you thought I was.
Yeah, man.
Wow. Then you wind up leaving the event early so that you ain't got to deal with it.
Yeah.
People are like, why'd you leave early? My stomach hurt. Or you have to get to a position where you're angry with them, and that's a coping mechanism. So you come to an event and you're like, you know, you can say something very mean and people catch on. So when you see them and they see you, you can look at the host and be like, oh, I see you have roaches. And they're like, don't call her no roach, John. I don't think I'm staying. And that's the coping
right.
mechanism. Not that it's fair.
Exactly.
But, you know, anger has a way of helping you either. Like, this wasn't my fault until you get home and you're like, I want her back.
Oh, man. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I don't drink alcohol, so I can't call at 3 o'clock in the morning drunk. Like, you know, do you love him? Do you love him?
Right.
I want you back too. I don't drink, so I just got to deal with it and be like, I'm just overly sorry. In case they're like, yeah, well, sorry, don't take me on dates. Good night.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, but anyway, I'm taking up enough of your time, man.
Oh, no, you good, man. You good, man. I just want you to let everybody know what you got going on in the Epiphany Radio universe.
Thursday night, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone within the sound of my voice, make your way to the Get Down, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard, featuring the host for the month of April, which is Poetry Month. The poet's name is Anonymity, co-hosting by Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic, and yours truly, John Robinson, a.k.a. J. Rob, the Wise Son. And ooh, it's going to be a serious month. If you were here, excuse me, if you were here for the beginning of the month,
God bless you.
Wait till next week. Wait till next week.
All I'm going to tell y'all is hold on to your pens. Hold on to your pens.
Get a seatbelt. Hold on to your pens. It's going to be something different. Prepare to stretch your pen.
Yes. Mm. Yes. What was that? What's that opening Star Trek line? What is it? Space.
Space.
Final frontier. Yeah, that's where your pens need to go.
Beyond the final frontier.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I'm excited, man. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. But, man, let me get you
neither
on over to
I.
that VIP lounge, man, and
on
get you
my
some
way.
Of that some of that imported champagne from London, bro. Oh, my goodness.
Danielle's over
stuff,
there?
Man. Danielle is definitely over there.
Move out the way, man. I got to talk to this woman. I'm going to talk to you.
All right.
Have a good night.
Talk to you later. You too. Good night.
Peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is our brother J-Rob, the Wise Son, one half host of the Get Down Thursday nights, except for the month of April, he and I are just co-hosts to the brother who won the Poetry Get Down Idol, Anonymity. So make sure y'all tune in next Thursday, 9 p.m. It's been a dynamite show, man. Let me just say this. It's not easy to talk about topics like this. You know, it's especially when you have to examine yourself. Because when I came up with the topic, I really had to take a look at myself and really see what my issue was. And those of you that press one to express, those of you that wrote pieces, those of you that actually poured yourself out tonight, I appreciate you. And I hope for you that there was some type of healing there that went on in that process as you released that information. Honestly, I really do. One more caller. Welcome to Let's Talk About It. Who do we have on the mic?
Hello, it's Gwency.
Hey, Gwency. I was waiting for you to press one. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, but I don't know that the poem is ready, so that's why I was kind of waiting around, like maybe, maybe not. But you know what? It's a poem. Whether it's ready or not, it's still a poem.
You got that going right. You know it is. You know it is. But before we get to your poem, let's talk about this question, because how has your fault destroyed a past relationship?
Oh, my God, that's a book. I'm challenging. You know, I'm all about ambition and stuff, so I have high standards and expectations for people around me, and that's not always taken well, and I might be just, you know, I can be a little overwhelming.
Okay. So,
and it can definitely take a toll on a relationship. Actually, when I was getting divorced, I can say that it was definitely a different perspective, like outlook on the way things should be, you know, like I plan for future. I do all of these things, right? And some people just aren't there. And so when you have these, like, these type of expectations and you – I mean, I don't know if it's wrong to put them on others, but I guess you know, that's why we should be more diligent in the process, right? Before we get to that point, we should be more diligent, knowing, are we even aligned? Are we aligned, or are we just, like, in lust and in love, but are we aligned?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's good. Are we aligned? You know, one of the things that I always say in my past, I would tell a woman that you are in love with the idea of being with me, but not actually in love with me. How could you say that? How could you talk like that? You don't know. I mean, it's evident by your actions, by the things that you do. So are we aligned? That is so good. My God.
That's the next one. No, I'm kidding. That would be a book for sure.
I love that. I can't wait to hear it too, because that's serious. You know, we go with the wrong expectations. And, again, I will say it, communication. Communication is key.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you communicate with me that your ambition is high and you're communicating that with me, I'm like, well, you know what? You could teach me how to make sure my ambition get as high as yours. Well, I'm already there. We're there together. So we can be aligned. Oh, man, don't get me started.
You write the poem about that.
You got it. And I'm going to send it to you, and then you do what you do.
That's dope. And you know what? I even have to add, because, you know, I don't normally share a lot, but it's not even just like having the ambition at the beginning and not necessarily being aligned, but I will admit the one fault for me is I evolved so fucking much that I was totally different. So even though I was always ambitious, it was a whole new level. So it was kind of unfair, right? Because if you evolve too much and you don't change the people around you or they don't change with you, then you definitely won't align 15, 20 years later.
True.
So I think that had a lot to do with it.
Absolutely. You are so right. That's what I'm talking about. Knowledge, Gwen. I love it.
Thank you.
now that we've gotten that out of the way, what piece do you want to drop in our spirits tonight?
So I got a prompt today, and I love the prompt. And I'm just going to be honest. I don't know that I've done it any justice, but, it's called Meet Me at 112.
Okay. All right. The mic is yours.
Thank you. Turn off the lights. Shut down Manhattan. I want to hear you take me. Your pen scribing my heart's next beat. Jodeci me. Nah, Bon Jovi me. Take a shot. Ink me. New edition. Map me to intersection of H-Town and Keith Sweat. Because nobody as in me ever told you. I'm down with you like silk. Made us lose control in the 90s, baby. If I ever fall in love, it would sound like confession. I already love you. News, I'm so in love with you. Like front page and article in Vogue back in the day. Drama, style, passion, but only in the October edition. All I do is think of you. Nothing compares to you. Libra poet, you be the whole damn month of poetry. Without you, there's no creating. Like Nas, real shit comes from you. I walk blocks to give all my love to you. Columbia to Flatbush, back to Brooklyn Bridge, where we meet at 1:12 a.m. Lay your head on my pillow. Ask me how deep is your love so I can say to you, don't fall into avoidance. Baby, hold on to me. Show you I can stand the rain on us as long as it kisses us as we kiss each other. Because not only is there a right and a wrong way, but when somebody loves you back, you're not going to cry. No agony. You remind me of a sweet, fantasy baby. That's the piece.
Ooh wee. Baby, hold on to me.
I know, I'm not going to do that.
See, I'm a special kind. Man, you got me reminiscing all up in throughout that piece with all of those songs. Oh, man. That was a phenomenal piece.
It seemed like it was.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't usually do, like, a lot of, like, the song lines, and, like, I've seen people do candy bars, and I'll be like, that's the dopest piece ever, song titles and stuff, but I thought it kind of told the story anyway, and it's a little bit different approach.
It did. You know, there were so many of my favorites in there. New edition, Can You Stand the Rain, Jodeci, Baby, Hold On to Me, Right in a Wrong Way, SWV, Shy, If I Ever Fall in Love. Girl, listen. I love that piece. Talk about you ain't do it. You don't know if you did it justice. You know you did the prompt justice. Girl, you definitely did that prompt justice. Phenomenal ink.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you. I appreciate making time for me as well.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for being here.
Yes, I enjoyed the show. Thank you so much, Ian.
You're more than welcome, Gwen C. Thank you. And going over there to that VIP lounge, grab your glass of that bubbly. And, the DJ just might hand your mic until you do that piece again, and he might just run through those songs in the background, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to have that piece done tomorrow.
For sure.
I can't wait either. All right. One love, one mic. Stick around and enjoy the remainder of the show.
One love, one mic. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Gwen C. with that phenomenal ink. Man, did she do that or what? Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you the Epiphany lineup for next week. Sunday night, join Divine Inspiration and yours truly, Poetic, in the Inspiration Factory. Monday night, King and Queen's Quarters with King Atterbury and Queen Simmons. Tuesday night is going to be War Council with your host, Mojave. Wednesday night, the Love Zone, Miss VIP and La Pearl La Negra. Thursday night, y'all, is going to be the Get Down with your hosts, Anonymity and J-Rob, the Wise Son, and yours truly, Poetic. Friday night, y'all, is going to be Express Your Vibe with Miss VIP, and guest co-host with her will be yours truly, Poetic. Saturday night, y'all, is going to be Poetic Therapy with La Pearl, La Negra, and Stan the Man Phillips. Make sure y'all tune in. We got shows available for you for whatever your flavor is. Oh, man. And I will say this. Without you, there is no Epiphany Radio. So we honor you. We're glad that you take time out of your schedule to spend time with us here on Epiphany Radio. Please join us. Every night of the week, we got something for you. Again, shout out to our CEO, Arthur Larry Maddox. Thank you, everyone, for coming through. One love, one mic. God bless. Peace.